Welcome. You are listening to C3 Hobart Online. We are so glad that you have joined us today for our series called Love Thy Neighbour, which is all about how we can best love and reach our community. We hope you enjoy this message.
The Lord's Prayer has just as much relevance today as what it did over 2,000 years ago when Jesus taught it. Just as much relevance in Parliament today as what it did in 1901 in the Federation of this great nation. Governments come and go, but God has always been and will always be on the throne. No matter what results come, I choose to stand on the word of God, which says, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Don't worry about the numbers. God only needed one to save the world, and Jesus is still seated at the right hand of God's throne. The same Jesus who says in the word of God, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Good morning, church. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Tim Christalis. My wife Jane and our four children have been coming to C3 Hobart for over 22 years. This morning is the fourth time that I've preached. And if you haven't heard me before, then I'll give you a bit of a background where the Word of God comes from for me. Right here. I've read articles and a few books on preaching, and I'll be honest with you all, that when I try and be intelligent and try and be theological, nothing comes out. But when I engage the heart, it just pours out. I'm a passionate man who does get loud, but I won't apologise for getting loud about Jesus. Amen? I have a simple rule that I live by. I leave nothing in the tank. Because when I go home and look at myself in the mirror tonight, I have to know that I've given this everything I've got. To do anything less does not honour God. Pastor Sean asked me recently about how the preparations were going, and I told him that I had the bones of the message, but it needed some more meat. And then God showed up in the most random of ways and in a way that I never would have expected. That's what I love about God. All throughout the Bible, there are times where he uses the obscure, the underdog, the uneducated to show the love of Christ. This month's theme is on serving, so I thought it would be prudent for me to share with you where I serve in the life of this church. I'm not sharing because I want a pat on the back, but to let you know that I practice what I preach, because I can't get up here and tell you to serve if I'm not doing it myself. So I serve in four different roles in the life of the church. First and foremost, I'm a child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means I must always be ready, willing and able to cross the road like the Good Samaritan did. Second, I'm on the cafe team, where I serve as once a month as part of a team, but not just any team, the A team, Phil Gillis, Lauren Weeks, Jason Moran, if he's here somewhere. Third, Jane and I lead a connect group of 24 people. We love it. I love being a connect group leader. And lastly, I assist Christelle Seymour with overseeing the connect groups for the church, and in my role, I get around the connect group leaders and make sure that they're okay, and I also promote the numerous reasons why you should be in a connect group. Before I start, I would like to say that my thoughts on serving are this. Whenever we show the love of Christ, we serve God. Be it mowing lawns, having a coffee with someone who needs an ear to listen, intercessing in prayer, asking someone if they're okay. If it comes out of a heart for God, we are serving God. The title of this morning's message is called Answer the Call. One thing I know about our God is he's not into titles or resumes. He's into hearts. Phil Pringle once said in this church that if you have to pick between talent and heart to fill a volunteer position, you take heart every time. I knew this Italian business owner. He was a proud man who loved his beloved Italy. He sold his restaurant to his stepson who wasn't Italian. The stepson would have every Wednesday off, so his stepfather would come in for the day and make the pasta and pizza. One thing I realised very quickly was how much better the food was on the Wednesday opposed to the other days. I was a regular customer at the time, so I was an informed critic. I started only going on a Wednesday, and it was on one of these visits that I asked the stepfather why the food tasted so much better when he made it. I mean, there were recipes that were followed, but it still never tasted as good. This short, fat Italian man seemed to grow about 2 feet taller before my very eyes. With tears running down his face, he said, "When I make Italian food, I make it with a love. That's why my food tastes better, because I love making it. I love eating it. The recipe may say a pinch of salt, but where do you get a pinch of love? If what you do in life doesn't come from here, it will never taste as good." God wants our hearts in serving because it's a pleasing aroma to Him, not a bitter one that comes from a begrudging heart. When countries go to war, the generals position their men for a first response. Usually it's a massive strike to deter the enemy. Every contingency is thought of to minimize casualties and the loss of ground. Every person is critical to the success of the operation. Just one weak link can mean catastrophic consequences to the overall operation. The Germans made battle plans look easy. They would basically look at where the enemy was thinnest on the ground. They would then bomb relentlessly, use tanks and huge numbers of men to push through that small spot. Then they would divide and conquer the enemy. As God's children, we are the first response for those who are searching for what's missing in their lives, and that is Jesus Christ. We must all play our part in serving Him, because the devil is waiting. We read in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." We all play a part. From the person who cleans the toilets, the key man who locks up, the worship team who get here at the crack of dawn, the sound and lighting team, the preacher, the kids' church team, the list goes on. We are on the front line, and you may think you play some insignificant role in serving on that line, but I'm here today to tell you that when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, all heaven rejoices and acknowledges the sacrifice made in serving. So what happens when we don't serve? Well, the twice-weekly playgroup for mums and dads with preschool kids stops because there aren't any volunteers to run it. That means on average up to 40 adults and children who don't attend church no longer have a point of contact with church. There are approximately 100 combined high school, college students and young adults who no longer have an outreach program they can be a part of, and ask their non-church friends to be a part of, because the youth and young adult leaders' positions aren't filled by volunteers. Pretty scary, hey? We read in Hebrews 6, verse 10, "For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you have shown your love to Him by caring for other believers as you still do." We read in Matthew 25, 14 to 27 about the parable of the three servants. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." I praise God for the day that Jono and Lizzie Hosford became the youth pastors of this church. Yeah. Our three eldest children not only attended their weekly youth gatherings here at church, but more importantly, Jono and Lizzie led them to Jesus and they were baptized here. Now, Jono and Lizzie had every reason not to become youth pastors. They were newlyweds, they were young, and could have easily filled up every Friday night on their social calendars. Instead of taking the youth to Presence Conference for a week on their own holiday time, they could have been sunning themselves on a beach sipping pina coladas. Instead of having lunch at a cafe with Lizzie, Jono has a coffee with a troubled teenage boy. The concerned father shared with Jono about his son and what he was going through and asked if he had time to catch up with his son. Why? Because God loved Jono and Lizzie so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on a cross and to be raised from the dead 3 days later so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God gave Jono and Lizzie the gift of eternal life. And instead of burying it in the ground where it would gain no interest, they decided to invest it into the kids of the church to turn it into hundreds of young people accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour and praying the salvation prayer. And the Lord said, "Well done, good and faithful servants." Jesus didn't ask the Pharisees and Sadducees to be his disciples for a reason. How could a bunch of know-it-alls relate to the common man? Jesus chose fishermen, tax collectors, the ordinary to become extraordinary and build his church. It takes an alcoholic who's had an encounter with Jesus to talk to an alcoholic about Jesus. It takes a drug addict who's had an encounter with Jesus to talk to a drug addict about Jesus. We all come from different backgrounds, different upbringings. Some are great, some not so great. But don't ever let your past or status in life determine your sphere of influence for God. When you have Jesus in your heart, God can use you to move mountains. Don't waste another day hiding your gift. God has given each of us a gift and a choice with what we do with it. Do we bury it in the ground where it can't be used to grow his kingdom? Or do we use it to change the world one salvation at a time in Jesus' name? We've all heard the story about Jonah and the whale. And I'm going to read a few verses from it. We go to Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. "The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are." But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. We go to Jonah 3, 1 to 4, verse 10. Yep. "Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you." This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed." When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. "Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen." So where did it all go wrong for Jonah? Was it when he first ran away from the Lord? Was it when he was in the belly of the whale? Was it the fact that it took 3 days just to walk around the city in the hot sun? Or was it when God showed mercy on the Ninevites and held back his wrath? Where it all went wrong for Jonah was when he placed his own expectation on serving God. I and me appear 7 times in the conversation Jonah had with God immediately after God changed his mind about destroying the Ninevites. When we serve God out of an attitude of what's in it for me, or this will get people talking about me, then we aren't serving God, we're serving our own self-desires. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, it was one of the lowest servant acts of the day, but he did it to show that the lowest servant acts of the day have just as much value in the eyes of the Lord than all the other things we do to serve him. God doesn't give more or less of his love to the roles of preachers, singers, cleaners, connect group leaders, and so on. He gives his love freely to anyone who accepts it, and he says in his word, "Freely you have received, freely give." In July this year, I went to see back-to-back AFL games with some of the men here from church. I flew out Friday after work. We went straight to the game from the airport. By the time I got to sleep that night, I was up for around 21 hours. We had someone in our room who snored so loud, I think the next day he was coughing up the paint he sucked off the ceiling the night before. It was that bad. Yeah. The next day was just as long, and our flight wasn't landing in Hobart till around 10 p.m. So it was another long day. We get off the plane, we're walking to our car, it's 10:15 p.m, it's 2 degrees, and already there was ice on the windscreens. I validate my parking voucher and we started walking to the car when all of a sudden Nico Tablanche is walking towards us. There was a young lady who had a flat battery so a car wouldn't start. And Nico, I tell you all, was a true gentleman. This isn't the first time I've seen him act for a stranger in need. So Nico, Phil Jewis and Aaron Dreesen stayed with the car and I went to get mine so we could jumpstart it. Modern automatic cars meant that the 5-minute job turned into a 45-minute job. I was tired, I was cold and I just wanted to get home. But in the end we got it started and the young lady got to go home too. I had a sobering thought the next morning. If that lady was one of my daughters in trouble, I would want men like these to act and help them home. Everybody say with me, act and help them home. I'll get this around in a second. Beauty. Thanks. Can I have that picture, please, Marco? Yep. There are millions and millions of people out there that are busted and broken down that are looking for something or someone to jumpstart their lives. They try the easy way only to find the source doesn't have the power or the capability to change their life once and for all. When we serve God, we are the jumper leads. He uses us to connect the broken to the ultimate power source, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He never goes flat. It's never too cold for him to change a life. You can't jumpstart a car if there's only one strand in the cable. It will burn out and not transfer the power. It is written in Matthew 18, verse 20. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. You can't jumpstart a car with dirty battery terminals. There won't be enough contact to transfer the power. In 1 John 1, verse 9, we read, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." If we're not right with God, we need to get right with God and get rid of all the dirt in our lives so we can be the Lord's hands and feet here on earth. It takes many strands to transfer the power. When someone crosses the street to see if that stranger is okay, there's one strand. When someone else invites them to church, there's another strand. By the time the church service is finished, there's another 50 strands added to bring in the Word of God and for them to come out the front and give their life to Jesus. Busted, broken, worthless, but it doesn't matter when you've got Jesus in your heart. That is why we serve God. Get excited about Jesus. Get excited about serving God and be a part of the spark that jumpstarts a heart for Jesus. In Colossians 3, 23 and 24 we read, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is Christ." Can I have the musicians, please? Can I have that photo, please, Marco? A lady named Michelle worked in our family business for quite some time. She had a hard life, single mother to a son and a daughter. She lived from paycheck to paycheck, and our family helped her when it was needed. I can remember the day like it was yesterday. Michelle and another worker were into the false god that is crystals. They were speaking about all these different crystals you need in your life, and all the different things that they apparently did for you. And I remembered thinking at the time, if they asked me what I thought, that I'd tell them. Well, ask me, they did. I said, "You can have all the crystals you can think of for every part of your life, but if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll spend eternity in hell." That was pretty much it. Some many months later, my mum and I baptized Michelle at Christian City Church, Hobart. Michelle has gone on in the Lord. She's led many people to Christ, even a Hell's Angel bikie. Her daughter has joined YWAM and has led many people to Christ, even in the prisons of Indonesia, where murderers, child molesters gave their lives to Christ after listening to the word God gave her. I recently caught up with Michelle, and one of the comments she made was, "I don't know where my life would be if you hadn't have spoken up that day." I shared earlier about when generals go to war and how every person is crucial. Make no mistake, we are all crucial. And the one thing we must have in serving God is a heart that is surrendered to Him. So when He calls us to go into no man's land to retrieve a wounded person like Michelle, we go. No man's land was the area between opposing trenches. If you were wounded, you were left there in the hope that someone was brave enough to come and get you. Serving doesn't come gift-wrapped with a press here to serve button, or is it a one-size-fits-all ministry? At times, it's hard, dirty work, but that's our calling. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30, we read, "And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." There will be times when He calls us to stand in the breach. And the question we must ask ourselves is, do we want God to say, "I found no one"? Or do you want Him to say, "I found Phil, I found Allison, I found Jaron, I found James," to go into all the world and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To quote Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. We are in a fight where there is no second prize. We have two choices for eternity. If we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, we will spend eternity with Him. If we don't accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we will spend eternity without Him. The Bible is very clear on that. In John 5:24, we read, "I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life." The only number that matters, the only number I get excited about, is the number of salvations we have. Because when it all boils down, that's why we serve in Jesus' name. Serving God means we are His hands and feet here on earth, but we must do it from our heart. Jesus served mankind by laying His life down for our sins. He's with us at 3 a.m. in the morning when we can't sleep. He's there with you when a loved one loses their battle with sickness. He's there when the road gets harder to walk. And He's with us when the world says we're worthless. We just have to ask Him in.
Thank you for listening to C3 Hobart Online. If this message has impacted you in any way, please don't hesitate to contact us at c3hobart.org.au.